You may remember a term, variety in a twig. Today we're going to have a little show and tell. So I've prepared these handouts.
Ooh.
So as you can see, we're going to be getting into the tabernacle a little bit today. And in the top picture there, it gives the dimensions of the outside of the tabernacle. And it's roughly 150 feet long.
Damn.
So that's 50 yards if you're familiar with a football field. The length of it from right to left in total was 50 yards. And then on the other side, oh, by the way, it says cubits there. And the cubit was the length between a man's elbow and the tip of his fingers. So we'll check it out. 18 inches. Typically, generally speaking, when you look up a cubit, it's 18 inches. So I'm right on there. But anyway, so it says 50 cubits, which is half of the 100 cubits, so that would be... Anybody?
Oh, you're asking.
Sorry.
30 yards.
30 feet.
75 feet.
Oh. You're close.
Okay, and then the inside, you see where it does, it has a tabernacle there on the inside. And it says 10 cubits for the back part of it, which we know as the Holy of Holies. And the front part of it is 20 cubits, which would be 30 feet, so it's 45 feet overall, 15 feet high. And they would enter on the right where it says entrance. And then there would be the altar of burnt offerings there. There would be the laver where they would wash their hands and their feet before going into the holy place. And inside the holy place, you see the menorah there, the candles, and then just above that would be the table of the showbread. And what that had was 12 loaves of bread that were changed every week or so, representing the 12 tribes, and that God was their sufficiency and whatnot. And the menorah, the candlelight, indicated that God would light their way, light their path. And then right before, just to the left of the menorah, there's the altar of incense. And that would burn incense in front of the most holy place. And of course, there was the veil in between. And the high priest could only go in there once a year. And on the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, as we know it nowadays, he would go in there once a year and offer the sacrifice, the blood of the lamb, for the atonement of the sins of the children of Israel. So the dimension of the holy place was 15 feet. So just so you get an idea, 15 feet comes to right about here. So the holy place would be this long, front to back, and also side to side, and also this high. So it would be 15 feet high as well. So that was the space of the holy place, the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And also I had a picture here of the high priest and his vestments, and what he wore when he went into the tabernacle. And on the left side of the page, how the tabernacle was situated in the camp of the children of Israel. So you had three tribes on each side of the camp, with the tabernacle in the middle, and the Levites were in the middle, the dark blue, closest to the tabernacle. And this is from Numbers, as it says there, chapter 2. But if you add all that up, you get over 600,000 people, at least, that were in the in that area of the camp in the wilderness. That's why I sang "The Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness" to get you all tuned up for and also an interesting thing I found while I was doing this, the candelabra, the menorah that's in there, the wicks had to be changed regularly. They were oil candles and the wicks would have to be replenished. And what they did was they would take the old or soiled garments of the ephod, the white part there, and they would cut those up and use them for the wicks to replenish the menorah, so that the garments, the holy garments, weren't thrown away or trashed. They were recycled to become wicks for the menorah. So during the course of my looking up stuff for this page, I ran across the what it says on the bottom, the Tabernacle Man. And it's Dr. Terry Harmon. And he has YouTube videos that he's put up. If you just search Tabernacle Man on YouTube, he has full-scale replicas of this stuff that he shows you, what's inside the tabernacle. And he goes through the scriptures and explains it. I thought it was well worthwhile to check it out if you want to at some point. And that's why I found out about the wicks of the menorah, something that he said. But it's an interesting site. There's several videos up there, and might be worth a while to check it out if you're interested. Okay, so what I wanted to zero in on this morning was the actual Ark of the Covenant. And the word Ark means a box or a cabinet or a chest. And if we go to Exodus chapter 24, Exodus 24, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, talking about Mount Sinai, and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. So Aaron and Hur are in charge as Moses goes up into Mount Sinai. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. As I was going through this, I thought how many times 40 days and 40 nights are mentioned in the Bible. And Noah was, of course, the story of Noah was 40 days and 40 nights. Moses, 40 days and 40 nights. They're in the wilderness 40 years. Jesus was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. From the resurrection to the ascension is 40 days. Somebody might want to look into that at some point. The number, if you're into numbers, the number 40 is a multiple of 8 and 5. It's been said that 8 is a new beginning and 5 is a grace. So all of these are of sorts new beginnings according to God's grace. But that's just a side note. Chapter 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. Kind of reminds me of 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loveth a cheerful giver. It's So he's asking for things from the congregation, but only as they give it willingly and of a cheerful heart. Verse 3. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood. What that is it's a acacia wood that we have nowadays, and it's a very dense, water-resistant, bug-resistant type of wood. We have two rockers on our front porch that are made out of acacia wood, and they've held up pretty well over the years. But that's what the shittim wood is. Oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod. The ephod was the garment of the high priest. And in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits shall be the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits shall be the height thereof. So if we said that 18 inches was a cubit and a half is what?
27.
Yeah. So the ark would be about this high, and then again it would be about this wide, and 2.5 is what?
45.
So it would be about that wide. So it's a fairly small unit. But that's the size that God told them to make it. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without. Thou shalt overlay it and shall make upon it a crown of gold around about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. The 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, the same wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. And the staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits high, roughly the same size as the box, shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to the other. One toward the mercy seat, the faces of the cherubim shall be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in the commandment unto the children of the Israel. Children of Israel. And then verse 23 starts the beginning of the instructions for all the rest of the items that are on the tabernacle. The whole thing was by divine design. God told Moses exactly what he wanted him to do, what it was to be made of, how big it was supposed to be, And that's what it was. So inside this little heavy storage container, it just fits in here perfectly, and it wasn't meant for this. But anyway, I have a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. So you have the first box. It says it had a crown around it, and that just means a molding. God invented crown molding. So that was around the top. And then it had the staves to carry it. And then it had the mercy seat, which went on top, and the two cherubims facing each other, and the priest would come in between and sprinkle the blood once a year on the Day of Atonement between the two cherubims and seek forgiveness for all their sins. So that's, if you Google the Ark of the Covenant, you'll see a lot of different representations of what it looked like. And all this other stuff on the bottom isn't really indicated in the Word. It's just like, well, maybe it looked like that. And another interesting thing is that God said the staves would be on the side. So if the high priest comes in and between the cherubims, this would be the front and this would be the back. So these staves would actually be on the sides, according to where God said they would be on the sides. So there you have it. I'll put that up there for now. And we'll turn to Exodus chapter 31. Starting in verse 1. These are instructions to Moses as to who would build the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship." So here is a man that God put the Spirit of God upon him. He wasn't a prophet. He was just a regular guy, apparently, that was fitted in construction. And God put the Spirit upon him so that he would have wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship. And that's exactly what Chris was talking about last time in his teaching, how God can give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And if you missed it, it's at BibleFellowshipTeaching.org. You can tune in there and listen to a great teaching by Chris Pinnell on knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But anyway, God put his Spirit upon these men, verse 4, to devise cunning work, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted have I put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. So God puts his Spirit on these people so that they can have wisdom and knowledge on how to make the things of the tabernacle, including the Ark of the Covenant. If we go to chapter 31, verse 18, same chapter, verse 18, And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communicating with him upon the Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods for which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. So Moses is up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and the people get restless, and they want to have their own gods made up. And Aaron said unto them, Well, break off the golden earrings which are on the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in the ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hands, and fashioned and made a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And then if we go to verse 8, God is talking to Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped them, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. That's why they had to have a mercy seat, because they were a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me be alone in my wrath, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. So he wants to wipe them all out and start over again, like he did with Noah. And of course, Moses intercedes for them, and Moses besought the Lord, his God. He didn't need a molten God, the Lord was his God. And he said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt? He recognizes that God was the one that brought him out of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. And then down in verse 14, And the Lord repented of the evil which he brought unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other side were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven on the tables. And then we go down to verse 19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it in powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. So as Moses came down and saw the calf, he smashes the first set of the tablets, and Moses himself has to hew two new tablets, and he goes up again into the mount a second time for 40 days and 40 nights, and God writes on the new tablets. And then Moses returns and gives verbatim the instructions concerning the tabernacle, and that's in chapter 35, verse 4 and 5. And Moses spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, offer it to the Lord, gold, brass, blue, and he goes through the whole thing, that we read previously, verbatim, he tells the children of Israel what God wants. And then all these things, the gold, the silver, the fabrics and whatnot, you might be asking yourself, well, how did they come to have all this stuff in the first place? Does anybody know?
It's from the Egyptians.
It's from the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 12. When they're leaving Egypt, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So the words lent and borrowed seem to indicate for us that they intended to give them back. But if you check it out, look it up, it means to ask or demand or to obtain leave of. So they didn't have any intention of giving it back to them. They were just going to take it with them, and that's how all this stuff was available to build the tabernacle. So God in his foreknowledge knew that this was going to happen and they would have that need, so he supplied it. If we go back to Exodus 36, starting in verse 1, then brought Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called these guys, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it within withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that brought all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which he had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. So they had to tell the people, okay, we don't need to bring any more stuff. We got all that we need. And the tabernacle was eventually put together and built. Now, there were things contained inside the Ark of the Covenant. We saw that God told Moses to put the tablets into the Ark. And there was also Aaron's rod, which budded. If we look at Numbers chapter 17, Numbers 17, starting in verse 1. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all the princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And a rod, if you look it up, is just a stick or a baton or staff. It's not necessarily the staff that you see with the shepherds and whatnot, but it was probably a smaller rod like they used for moving the sheep around But anyway, it wasn't very long because they had to fit in the ark. So each tribe gave a rod. And now, verse 4, thou shalt lay them in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. So the crux of it was that each tribe wanted to have their own people that could go into the tabernacle, and it was supposed to be only the Levites that would go in and do the services. So God says, let's get everybody to have a rod, throw them into the tabernacle there, see what happens. And verse 6, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave a rod apiece for each prince out, for each prince one according to their father's houses, and 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness, and it came to pass that on the morrow, the next day, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. So Aaron's rod that budded was to be put into the Ark of the Covenant also. And one final thing that was to go in there was a pot of manna. And in Numbers chapter 11, verse 7. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof the color of bdellium. Coriander seed is a small, if you're familiar with pistachios before they come out of the shell, that's kind of like what coriander looks like. It's a little thing. It's got a little crease on it. You can look it up on the interweb like I did. And that's what the manna looked like. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now if we go back to Exodus chapter 16. And in verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmur of the children of Israel. They're always murmuring. That's why they need mercy seat. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh in the morning. Ye shall be filled with bread. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every house, for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, gathering some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered less had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. They gathered it in the morning, and this till the morning means the morrow, the next morrow. You gather what you need for the morning, but don't save it for the next morning, for the morrow. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it left of it until the morning or the morrow. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun was hot, waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest, the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning, tomorrow. So the only time they could keep it till tomorrow was the day before the Sabbath, where God would supply enough for 2 days, because they weren't supposed to go out. And they laid it up till the morrow, as Moses stayed, and it did not stink, nor was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, it shall be there none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Idiots. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So there you have scripture built up on manna. And Moses said, this thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, and Aaron laid it up before the Lord, before the testimony, to be kept. So he put it in with the 10 commandments that were in the Ark of the Covenant. And it didn't stink. So they kept it in the Ark as a reminder of how God had supplied their need when they were in the wilderness. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came into the land inhabited, and they did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, you're probably wondering what an omer is.
Sure.
Well, look in the word. The next verse tells you right there. Now, an omer is a tenth part of an ephah.
What? Settles
that. Could it be any clearer? Well, I looked it up. What's an ophir? Or what's an omer? A tenth part of an ophir.
It's an omer.
And I found that an omer is the volume of 43.2 chicken eggs. And that's roughly a dry weight of 3.5 pounds or 7 pints.
Oh my goodness.
Depending on the size of a chicken egg, I got you.
That's what it said. But anyway, so if we go to Hebrews chapter 9.
Hebrews.
Yep, Hebrews chapter 9. Starting verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had its ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Ordinance of divine service, Ten Commandments, worldly sanctuary, the tabernacle. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had, there you go, the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So inside this ark of the covenant, what do we have? We have a pot of manna. We have
two scales.
Aaron's rod that budded. And we have two tables of the Ten Commandments, but they're only written on one side. So it's just an example of what might have happened, what might have been. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. He was our the Lamb of God. He was the high priest that entered once and for all. It says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We don't have to go to a Ark of the Covenant. God is God in Christ in us. We have the manifestations, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. The Spirit doesn't have to be upon us because we already have that available to us. And as to what happened, it says in verse 5, after talking about what's inside, it says, over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. Of course, we can come boldly before the throne of grace at this point. We have God's unmerited divine favor. We're not responsible for confessing our sins all the time in order to become righteous before God. So the mercy seat is replaced by that throne of grace. But then it says, of which we cannot now speak particularly or in detail. We couldn't speak of it in detail because the Ark of the Covenant didn't exist at the time that Jesus Christ was around and the Hebrews was written after that. But we know that they had it in the wilderness. Joshua used it when he was crossing the Jordan to go into the Promised Land. The priests carried the Ark of the Covenant, and as soon as their feet touched the water of the Jordan, it separated and they could walk past. They went around the walls of Jericho seven times, 7 days with the Ark, and on the seventh day, seven times, and they shouted and the walls came down. It was stolen by the Philistines, and it was nothing but trouble for them, so they wound up giving it back. It was taken from Solomon's temple when the Babylonians destroyed the temple. And then in 1981, Indiana Jones found it. That was the last anybody ever saw it. I'm just really thankful that we live in this administration where we can come ourselves before God and have that personal relationship. We don't need the ark or the tabernacle or any of those other things. Jesus Christ was the high priest once and for all. So, God bless. I love you.